Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. How about this? 30-day money-back guarantee. 4 months free. Watch your favorite shows abroad, whether you're traveling or you're at home and you want to watch something from overseas. Access this on all of your devices, phone, laptop, desktop, PC, tablet, doesn't matter. Three great tiers, a pass, a locker, a VPN, or all three. Block annoying pop-up ads, block malware, block online trackers, keep your data safe, browse anonymously, browse securely with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. You know I'm a snoop. I'm not a criminal, but I am a snoop. So unless you want me getting your scoops, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Secure all of your devices. Check it out. It's a great deal. How can you afford to miss this? You're going to end up saving money with NordVPN.com/Fightful and having a better browsing experience.
Welcome to another edition of Grapsody Interviews. I'm Will Washington. You know me. You know Phil Lindsay's over here. You know Righteous Reg here. But, again, you're not here for us. You're here for our guest. She is a legendary name in the independent wrestling scene and in recent years has become a legendary voice in the scene. She is the one and only Veda Scott.
Hello.
Hello, I'm so glad to finally have you here. A name, by the way, that is all too familiar to me because, of course, I have a daughter named Veda, and you two have actually met.
Yes.
It's a true story. Back in Chicago in 2021 at Effie's Big Gay Brunch, two Vedas that I know basically got to come face to face. And I don't know. It's funny because anytime your name has come up, that has been that little bit of validation she has where, you know, I'm sure you know the feeling of people telling you you might have a weird name, even though I'm fond of the name. Actually, it was my wife who picked it. But either way, that feeling, though, that she had of finally getting to meet not only another Veda, but somebody who spells it the exact same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, there's my girl, Veda, but that was spelled V-A-D-A.
V-A-D-A, correct? Yes.
Yes. Mm. Uh-huh. But how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, so, of course, I put the question out there to the Twitterverse this morning as far as what people want to hear from you.
Yeah, and I saw you put the prompt out, and then I deliberately didn't read it, so I was fresh. So we'll see.
Nice.
No, I was like, she follows me, and so I was like, is she gonna see this?
Yeah, but I intentionally didn't read it because I wanted to make sure like my answers were fresh. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, of course, you know, talking about you finding your voice in commentary, and you're kind of a voice that's been heard all over pretty much. I don't think you really have a true, maybe this is a shot, but you don't have an independent promotion if you don't have Veda Scott on your commentary team at some point.
Straight up.
So what's it been like finding your voice in commentary these last few years?
Yeah, well, so like quite literally finding like what voice I'm going to use as a broadcaster, as you all know, is a big thing. Like we don't necessarily always sound the exact same depending what situations we're in, both in like real life socially and also at work as a broadcaster. So for me, I've tried to pull a lot. And this is like talking about the mechanics of it, but I've tried to pull a lot, of course, from sports announcing, from sports broadcasters, from sideline reporters, that sort of thing, but also from wrestling commentators, but always kind of like trying to maintain the balance of not having too much of that. So I still have my own unique voice because there's a lot of there's a lot of uniformity, particularly in professional wrestling, particularly in play-by-play announcing, that mimics a lot of sports broadcasting, which also has a lot of uniformity to it. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, in my opinion. Obviously, there's a sound and also a look that is desired and, you know, is sort of like what is wanted a lot of the time. And I think we're breaking free of a lot of that, but there is always still going to be like, this is what a professional wrestling announcer sounds like. And I don't always sound like that. So I have tried to, on like for professional reasons, take in some aspects of people and both in wrestling and not, and broadcasters who I think might be beneficial for me to include aspects of what they do, just from things in terms of vocal inflection to just like how they carry themselves, but also like maintain me, because I like me, and right. And I don't want to succeed by completely just like putting on someone else's persona, I guess. So I'm trying to figure out the balance between that of like looking at what I need to do professionally, but also like maintaining enough of my personality. And that's kind of been the journey that I'm still on every single time I sit behind a microphone. Especially now that I used to predominantly do what would be designated as color commentary in professional wrestling, if you're talking about a traditional like two-person team. But as time has gone on, particularly as I start to do more and more commentary and learn a lot more mechanical aspects of things and production aspects of things, I've started to lead more and more teams and also be shifted kind of over to the play-by-play side of things a lot more often. And I also do a lot of solo commentary where I'm kind of just doing everything. That designation isn't as strict on the independent level, but it definitely is on TV. And for me, trying to figure out how I am as a play-by-play announcer versus how I am as a color commentator versus how I marry those two together, that's been really interesting. I love doing play-by-play. It's actually my preference. And it's been really cool to get put in that position more and more now. Earlier, it was always like, oh, you're a wrestler, you'll do color. But I actually prefer the play-by-play designation. And right. as I've done more and more broadcast and more and more wrestling announcing, I'm able to kind of like get myself in that position a little bit more. So that's been cool too.
What do you think of that transition as far as going from color to play-by-play?
So for me, I've kind of always tried to marry like both aspects. Like I would find myself doing color and end up like starting to shift into play-by-play anyway, because that's just like how my brain works. And I, again, just trying to find balance where, again, on the independents, there's a lot more, like there's a little bit more casualness around the designations between these positions, especially in a two-person or three-person booth. Usually there's like someone who is like pretty strictly designated as play-by-play, and then maybe like it's kind of like waving around otherwise. Whereas on television, there's usually a much stricter designation for production reasons and just because that's how it is. So I've kind of like tried to get good at sort of transitioning between those roles as I go from place to place, because like you said, I work for a lot of different promotions, they all have different feelings, they all have different vibes, they all have different presentations, and I need to be able to maintain me but also adapt to those situations as well and sort of slide in as seamlessly as possible to elevate the broadcast instead of like drawing attention to myself and bringing it down. That's important, I think.
Definitely. Speaking of transitions, how was it, you know, you came from being a professional wrestler. How was it making the transition from being a wrestler into being a commentator and trying, and like you said, kind of taking yourself out of it, not making it like, I would have did this in this moment and I would do this, and like, you know, taking yourself out of being the pro wrestler and just being the commentator or play-by-play person that adds to the match instead of trying to make it about yourself.
Right. So that's been really interesting too, because when I first started doing commentary, I did a lot of commentary for Shimmer, which is the women's pro wrestling promotion. A lot of that was because we were at the time, a lot of the production was done in post in terms of announcing and commentary. We'd film the matches and then we would do all the commentary later after the editing was done. So in that situation, I was able to kind of just sort of try to wiggle into, I knew I wanted to do more announcing in general.
Right.
Same within Ring of Honor, where I would like kind of just try to get myself to the commentary table as much as I could, just to get experience, to work with Kevin Kelly, to work with whoever was there at the time. Same thing with Shimmer and Dave Prazak, and also on the independents, just asking, maybe can I do a little bit more commentary work, trying to put out tons of promos and interviews and things to show that like, I want to talk about pro wrestling. And so that transition from wrestler to commentator, to for a while it was, I would do the commentary for wrestling promotions where I wrestled. So like the Veda special, we always called it, I'd wrestle the opening match and then I'd go to commentary and I'd call the rest of the show, which is always fun. And I still like doing that. It's become harder in recent months, especially because I tend to either lead the broadcast or be a little bit more involved in the actual broadcast, so I can't like switch back and forth as much. But as I was saying, so like for Shimmer, for example, I was doing color commentary on shows that I had wrestled on, or calling matches for people that I routinely wrestle. Right. So that was a lot more personalized. Whereas now I'm very regularly doing broadcasts for promotions where I've never wrestled and I never will, or against, you know, calling matches for people that I'm never going to be in a ring with. So there's not that personal aspect anymore. And that's kind of been, that's been really fun to kind of like transition into full on like broadcaster Veda, not ex wrestler, but like less part-time wrestler, as opposed to like having a personal stake in what's going on.
Right.
And you know, one of the ways that a lot of people around the world kind of became familiar with you as a commentator was via AEW's women's tournament, which ended up concluding on an episode of Dynamite. So you got to even commentate on national TV at that point. What was that experience like, especially being around commentary legends? There's Tony Schiavone there. There's you got to work with Taz, Jim Ross, all of those guys. How was that?
Oh my gosh. So sometimes I feel like, oh, should I still be talking about this like 2 years later, like, or 2.5 years later, or whatever, like it was a while ago. But like, yes, because it truly was, like, to this day, it's still the best experience of my announcing career. It changed everything for me.
Yeah, talk about it.
It truly did. It changed everything. It was like an absolute, like a life changer and a career changer for me. Obviously, it happened during COVID. So this was during those Jacksonville tapings where I'm pretty sure there wasn't any fans at all. It was just the wrestlers around the ring, or maybe it was right towards the end where they were going to start letting in like a select group of people. So in general, these were closed tapings. And I essentially, during the pandemic, I didn't take any wrestling bookings. I kind of thought that I was just on a long break. There were much more important things going on, and I didn't know, like, am I ever going to wrestle again or what? Like, we all were kind of in that place. And there were some, like, bookings happening, and I wasn't taking them, so I didn't know what was going to go on. And long story short, I got contacted about AEW, which was kind of surprising to me because, again, I thought, like, okay, you're just going to not be doing this for as long as the world is in chaos. Not that the world is not still in chaos, but and it kind of, like, there was a process involved and talking to lots of people and like kind of getting vetted for this position. And then it kind of like was established that maybe I would do commentary for this women's championship or women's tag tournament. The whole thing was set up as like a way to bring in some more. This was the early days of like Dark having independent wrestlers on it and that sort of thing. So it was like this idea to bring in some like women of independent wrestling and pair them up. A lot of them were paired up with AEW people and they would just kind of like launch a bunch of new people, but also just be something different. And I don't know like if there was always the plan to bring someone in to do commentary or if that like became the plan. I don't know. Anyway, they asked me to do it, and I was really lucky. So that was a very long explanation to get to the fact that it was like just – it was incredible the whole time. I got to do – I was there for – I was brought in to do the first – It was like two days of tapings, I want to say. They used to do like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks or a week on, a week off, I think. Mm-hmm. So I came and we did, you know, the first couple rounds of stuff. And it was, you know, it was great. It was so cool to be calling matches for people like Nicole Savoy, like Big Swole, mm-hmm. like Rachel Ellering was there. Like people who that I had known and been friends with for years, and now seeing them on this like huge stage and getting to be even like a little part of that was the coolest thing, like to see these people who had been, you know, grinding for so long get these huge opportunities and get out. That was so cool. But anyway, so I did the tournament. I ended up doing it with Tony Schiavone. There was like a kind of a shifting of voices at that period of time. I did it with Tony Schiavone, and I actually had never met Tony Schiavone until that day, and I didn't know that I was doing the tournament with him, and he didn't know it either until like very shortly before. So we had like no rapport going into it. Mm-hmm. And that's how much of a fucking rock star professional Tony Schiavone is. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't sit in the, because like people always say like, oh, you know, you have great chemistry with Tony, like, oh, it's so great. Like, I had never met this man beforehand. That's how professional he is, and like that's how good he is at his job. And I had also never, I had done, you know, announcing for Ring of Honor, but the level of production was a lot different at the time, because that was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is like my biggest gig ever, and I know what I'm doing, maybe, but I've never done it for AEW. I've never worked like on quote unquote TV. Yes, it was dark, but it's the same setup. It's the same production. And I'm like, just don't fuck this up. Like, just mm-hmm. like, don't be so bad that they fire you like during the broadcast. Because I have Tony Khan on my headset, and I'm like, just ready to hear that, like, we're going to wrap this up now. Mm. And again, that is just a testament to how good Tony Schiavone is
right.
at everything, is that like he was able to steer this ship with someone who was like completely new to him as a person, let alone a broadcaster. And it went really well. And then I got asked to come back the next tapings, which I wasn't sure that I was going to do. Tony Khan asked me to come back the next time. And I was like, okay, like mm-hmm. I will do literally whatever. So I came back and I got to film the semifinals. And then again, the finals, like you said, were on an episode of Dynamite, which was taped. And I don't know why, but it didn't like compute with me that like I would also call the finals on Dynamite. Like, I was unaware of this fact until it was like they had to start getting me ready to do TV, like real TV, like sit next to Jim Ross on TV. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't get it. Like, and then it was like, oh, this is not real. It's unfortunate that apparently I have passed away before I get to be on television. And this is some sort of like coma dream. But yeah, mm-hmm. So I got to do that. I got to, you know, talk to Jim Ross, who was amazing. And just,
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Is like has such a presence, and of course work with Taz a bit. And then I wrapped it up. I was like, okay, it went well. Everyone said it was great. It was awesome. I was super pumped and I was like ready for it to air. It started airing, all this great feedback. And then I got another email saying, hey, can you come back to Jacksonville again? And like, I thought I was done because I did the job I had to do. And they actually had me come back to Jacksonville and film 2 more weeks of dark tapings. And that's where I got to work with Excalibur and Taz together for the first time. And like, that was a total bonus to me. That was completely unexpected. And I love Excalibur. Just, I've told him this too, just sitting next to him is just like such an education in commentary. The same with Tony Schiavone and the same with Taz, who does a very different thing than they do, but like does it so well. Mm-hmm. And just like all of them were so helpful and giving me like little tips here and there. And I don't know, like I have nothing negative to say. The only negative thing is that like I want to do it again. I want to do more. Like I love I had such a great experience. Obviously things are a little different now that they're not you know, down in Jacksonville. They're touring again. And but I don't know, like, obviously I would love to walk right up to Tony Khan and say, excuse me, I think I could do really good work for you. And like, please. But with that not being possible, I guess my only like recourse is to just kind of keep doing what I'm doing. And hopefully, like, yep, someone notices.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think people are noticing because we see all the time whenever commentary is brought up. Hell, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure when this is going to run, so the results might already be out there.
Yeah.
But as far as Fightful's Commentator of the Year awards, you are nominated.
Yes,
And
which
so,
is huge.
So you've become a favorite amongst fans everywhere. It seems like whenever you're doing commentary, people are happy with what they're hearing. Or when you're not doing commentary, people are like, hey, why is Veda Scott not on this show?
Which is like crazy. That's so crazy. But I appreciate it always.
And again, it's because even when I put the question out there, people were talking about they want to hear more of the, because, you know, the Taz and Excalibur duo is already one that people are very, very fond of. It's always compared to almost like a podcast in a way, because the two of them are just kind of nuts when they do their dark commentary. But then people were really fond of you kind of sliding in between the two, and all of a sudden it became a very different trio than we were used to.
Yeah, they're both just so much personality and so much fun. Taz, I've known Taz. I used to do, Taz had a radio show years ago, and he had like an independent wrestling spotlight. And somehow through Ring of Honor, because it was years ago, I was still with Ring of Honor, I started coming on his radio show, like a radio show, and talking about what was going on, like with Ring of Honor and independent wrestling. But we hadn't like really met or anything. We just sort of had that little dynamic. And he is just like, man, it's crazy when you think about someone like Taz for as long as he's been an announcer. I don't know if he's been an announcer longer than he was an active wrestler, but it's got to be getting on close. Like he's been.
It's been, this is what it was, 2000. Yeah. So it's been 22 years of him as a commentator.
But think about this. So he's been a commentator for like two decades, right? Mm-hmm. And he still has every bit of legitimacy as a wrestler and totally. As a fighter. When he talks about like how like the leverage on a suplex, or when he talks about different holds, like you believe him 100%. And the only person that I could think of maybe with that same level of legitimacy is when Samoa Joe was doing some commentary, but that's even different because he was a lot closer to his wrestling career. And for Taz to have that like fun personality on commentary but also maintain that legitimacy as a fighter, like that's incredible to me. That balancing that line and not losing that credibility is so impressive, I think, and it's why he is so good.
Right. I put Regal in there too when he does commentary.
Yeah.
Same type of thing. So yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the wrestling aspect of your career, because you've had some matches this year. You've been doing, you never have stopped being an active wrestler. How do you balance still training to be a wrestler, still trying to get yourself in that mode while also doing the commentary thing?
Well, I will say, since I started really focusing on, I feel like I'm never gonna like retire as a wrestler, because that, first of all, that just seems like
No one retires. You're kind of like stabbing yourself in the foot.
I've always said, have another match.
Like, no one's done till they're in the ground. It's not
exactly.
And like, there's no retirement package available for me.
Right.
Like, it's not, whatever. Like, if I want to wrestle, I'm going to wrestle or not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But because I can now, like, when I started to do commentary more and more, and now I'm lucky enough to say that I am able to do it, I would be able to do commentary full time if I chose not to wrestle at all. Like, I wouldn't have to take wrestling bookings. And that has given me, I think, a lot of freedom with my wrestling, because I can, you know, have the matches I want to have when I want to have them, or I can kind of like focus on wrestling people I want to wrestle or wrestling places I want to wrestle, and not have that mentality of I need to have, you know, three or four bookings a week. I need to be here. I'm getting older. I didn't make it. Like, I didn't get signed and I didn't wrestle. I have all these like checklists that I have now been able to kind of push aside a little bit. And that's really liberating.
It is.
To kind of not like, oh, I don't just wrestle for fun. Like, I don't take it seriously. But like, there's only so seriously you can take pro wrestling, because it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And being able to kind of step back and have more fun with what I'm doing in the ring, I think, has been really healthy for me too, mentally. And that's been nice. And now I have put a lot of my focus on announcing. And because I in the end, I feel like I am, like, that is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I've been a professional wrestling fan my whole life. I've always wanted to work in pro wrestling. Originally, I wanted to be more involved in the behind-the-scenes production aspect of things. You know, I come from a background in television, and that's where I wanted to go. And the whole in-ring thing, like, sort of just snowballed.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't ever love it, because of course I loved it. It took me all over the world. But I feel like when I'm behind a microphone, like, okay, this is what's the most right for me.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what is the dream job at the moment? Like, what is, if somebody offered you a position anywhere to do anything, what would
all the contracts are on the table from all the companies, which one's getting the ciggy?
So I really, really love what AEW does and all the relationships they have with multiple promotions. I'm super excited to see what develops for Ring of Honor. As you all know, I got my start in Ring of Honor. I was originally trained at the Ring of Honor school, which was like sort of tangentially associated with the promotion. Like when I started training there, I had no aspirations of working for Ring of Honor because they didn't like, they didn't really have like women wrestling at the time, and also like it wasn't like a direct thing, so I was doing ring crew and like I was around it. I watched it, you know, transition onto to from HDNet to then Sinclair, and I when I left Ring of Honor, which was I think someone told me it was 5 or 6 years ago, like a couple like in December, when I left, like yes, it was a while ago. But I left because I wanted the opportunity to grow and do more things and travel. You know, at the time, ROH didn't have the direct connection to, like, let's say, Stardom. They had some New Japan relationships, but it wasn't the same thing. They weren't doing long, like, European tours. And that's what I wanted to do. So when I left, it was, you know, I chose not to stay because I wanted the freedom to go to Japan for a bunch of months, to live in Germany for a bunch of months, to go to England, to travel. And now that I have done all that, I feel like looking at where Ring of Honor is at now, potentially, like the potential that ROH has, especially under the AEW umbrella, like, I don't know. I'm excited about it. I hope it continues to thrive, and I wouldn't hate finding myself back there someday. And I think for a while I wasn't ever, I would not have said that, not out of like anything negative, but just out of like, this is, I did this, you know, I'm sure y'all can relate to this. Like sometimes you, like you complete a task and you're like, okay, this level's done. I'm moving on to my next thing. But I feel that Ring of Honor now is so different than it was. And like, I'm so different than I was that I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do, But yeah, I would really honestly at this point, my overall goal is I want to do professional wrestling announcing specifically as, you know, a full time career with some like upward mobility in it. And I would love to have consistency and be able to tell stories for like the same roster of people, you know, week after week. I think that's a really cool thing as an announcer to get to do. Like I have a bunch of independent promotions I work for every single month, and it's the same roster every month. But I would love to be able to like craft the stories of people on a regular basis and kind of grow what they're doing too.
Well, yeah, because you have kind of a unique perspective to offer in that regard, kind of to every promotion, right? Because you've shared the ring with names that are stars everywhere. You've shared the ring with Sasha Banks. You've shared the ring with Io Shirai. You've shared a ring with Candice LeRae. These are names that we see on TV on a regular basis that I think as a commentator, you have kind of a unique perspective because women's wrestling hasn't really had that in the same way where, you know, guys like Jerry Lawler have been able to offer that their whole careers. Guys like when JBL was on commentary, he was able to offer that for the modern stars. He was able to be there for John Cena and guys like that to say, hey, this is somebody I've shared a ring with. This is something I know. Women's wrestling hasn't necessarily had that. And I feel that you do have that unique perspective to add.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That was
No. And it makes sense because I just, again, I've seen a lot of evolution in professional wrestling. I genuinely believe that pro wrestling right now is the best it's ever been in terms of not just like the actual like in-ring wrestling part, but in terms of accessibility for everyone, not just like, oh, the fans sitting at home. I'm talking about for wrestlers. Like we can stream literally anything at any time. We can watch, like if I wrestle a match, like it has the potential to be seen by so many more people. It can go on YouTube. It can be streamed. And then just in terms of just progress in representation, in equity, I think we have a lot of work to do in general. And
still
like
still pro wrestling.
There's no denying that. Like, yes. Still like a carnival business that's, you know, based on lying to people.
Yeah.
And that's always going to be a factor.
Right.
But I think that we are seeing more and more people who are, we are seeing more and more marginalized people transitioning into positions of power, or at least starting, like maybe starting their own promotions, right, starting to be more vocal. And I think that's really important. And I think that we're at a position now where that's the best it's ever been, even though it's not still not great. So I don't know. Like, I feel like professional wrestling is getting better and better all the time. And it's a really exciting, a lot of it really sucked. Like when I started wrestling, which was a decade ago, like a lot of stuff really sucked. And there's a lot of people who didn't stick around for very good reasons. And I just sometimes think, like, where would they be today if they had, you know, had better experiences? And so that's a big thing too, I think, for me, is to try to like just kind of keep the good, try to make sure people have, you know, good experiences from the performance side, from the fan side, and all over. And I think that that's something that we're kind of all actively working towards now, is kind of like the boundaries are all blurred. And I think that's a good thing.
It is. It really is. Speaking of great pro wrestlers, you call the matches of a great pro wrestler that's also your husband.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, yes, thank
congrats
you
on that. Congrats on your nuptials and everything. But let's talk about it. This guy has been having the most insane year that in, like, I'm, it's like him and Ospreay for me. It's like one of these guys are the guys.
And they wrestled each other this year, too.
Yes, exactly. So you see there. How has it been being able to travel with Mike, being able to call his matches and kind of be a part of his journey, too? You guys have vlogs and things together and you guys stream. How has everything been? And
tell him
he's the best also. Make sure he knows that he's the guy.
You're the best.
You know you're the guy, Speedball.
He's sitting behind me. He's back here somewhere. oh, my gosh. So, you know, Mike and I have been together for a long time, as most people know. And, you know, for a good portion of that time, we couldn't live in the same country. Like, our relationship was what you would call long distance for a very long time. I mean, during COVID, I couldn't enter Canada for 10 months. We just didn't see each other for 10 months. Part of the time when I talked about, like, how I wanted to travel more, it happened to coincide with, you know, Mike and I starting to travel together more as well. And so we've had a period of time where we were able to, like, go to Europe for a few months and just live there and train and wrestle and travel. And that was great. But it was still like there's levels to it. And I, like, he needed to be on a higher level. Like, he needed to just be more recognized and have bigger opportunities. And, like, so we were kind of just waiting for that. And now signing with Impact has been incredible. Now, you know, Mike predominantly lives here in the States with me. Mm-hmm. We're able to get married. But the main thing is, like, we love, you've seen from our vlogs and things, like, we love traveling together. I love calling his matches. And they have had some really, really good ones this year. And I've been lucky enough to call a lot of them.
Yep.
But yeah, just getting to travel together has been something that we talked about for years, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, what would we do if we were able to just, like, travel around the United States together? Like, we've spent, you know, months living in some guy's spare bedroom, or, like, we lived in a bunk bed in Germany for WXW for a while. Like, we've done it. Like, we've
the life had, of pro wrestlers.
Yeah. But, like, what would it be like if we could, like, have a lot more freedom with our schedules, and sort of, like, we try to, as much as possible, you know, organize our travel so we can work together and travel together. And it's been really great, because we don't know that we'll always be able to do that. Like, there's a real possibility that, you know, over time, maybe our schedules aren't going to mesh as much. Maybe we'll have opportunities that take us, like, away from each other on certain days.
Because so Mike can't be an Impact forever. Let's, like, talk about it.
But he, but also, like,
get that big contract.
The nicest thing, I think, for Impact is people kind of smirting up to the fact that, like, oh, it's actually really good.
Yeah.
Like, there was, and I think, and I mean, I'm a little biased on this, but I think Speedball has been a huge factor in that, because he has had these matches that are getting a lot of buzz, and Impact has been, you know, putting them on YouTube, and more and more people are seeing them. And because he travels so much, you know, they're everywhere outside of the Impact tapings as well. I think that it's drawing a lot of people to kind of reconsider Impact. Same thing for, like, Masha and Giselle and Jordan, and, like, the eyes they've brought on the Knockouts division by being people who, so, like, if you look at someone like Masha, who is incredible, Masha is very much like Speedball in that they have their Impact stuff that they do, and it's great, but then they also do a lot outside of Impact, and I think people are like, well, you know, you're really great in GCW, it's too bad, blah, 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 Impact, and it's like, no. You should check out Impact. And they're like, oh, wait, hold on. I didn't know. This is also awesome.
Right.
And I think that that's sort of like leaning into the idea that like leaning into like the in-ring work has been really beneficial, I think, to Impact too, which I don't know. They have a really great crew too.
They do.
You know, it's funny because anytime that conversation comes up of like, oh, I didn't know Impact. It usually is something involving Mike, and I always love that. Like, you just think a couple weeks ago, he had the match with Josh Alexander, went an hour long. That was pretty much the conversation you would see of people going, oh, Impact's got it like that, and people are calling that one of the Match of the Year contenders. And I think that's just a testament to, one, the crew that's very underrated there that they have, and then, two, what Mike Bailey is bringing to the table.
Yeah, I mean, that match with Josh, too, was unadvertised.
It
was an impromptu hour, and it managed to kind of stay, you know, under the radar until it aired, to the point where, like, people were watching, because, you know, I'm always checking the hashtags for everything. While I'm calling a show, I am checking the social media always, because I want to know what people think. But, like, for this one, I didn't call that match, obviously, you know, Matt and Tom did an amazing job, but I was checking the hashtag for Impact as people were watching, and there were lots of people who were viewing who didn't realize this match was going to happen,
right?
And were like starting to watch and like, oh wait, this is going a little long, and then they started to catch on that it was going to go an hour, and it was incredible. And it's like, if that doesn't convince you that you can't miss an episode of this show, I don't know what does. That like, oops, we might spring an all-time classic on you by surprise.
Right. Good space to exist in. Pro wrestling, we're so lucky in this day and age. Like you were saying, we got all the streaming things. Like, if you can't find some pro wrestling that you like, you just don't like pro wrestling.
This is what I'm saying. And why spend so much time on what you don't like?
Right.
Like, for sure.
And I think it's also, like, it's okay and it's healthy to kind of, like, look at professional wrestling and be like, hey, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Like, maybe it's behind the scenes things. Maybe it just doesn't appeal to you and you liked it better in like the 80s or the 90s. But it's like okay to say, hey, I don't really like this anymore and I'm not going to watch it or talk about it or think about it. And like, that's fine. Like, I don't know why more people who are not being, I'm talking about people who are like, are not being paid to think about pro wrestling. Yeah. Like, it's one thing if, you know, this is your job and, you know, you're not happy with the products in front of you. Like, that's one thing. But, like, if you're watching pro wrestling for fun and it's not fun, then that's okay. Like, think about how many, like, shows you've started watching and you watch the first two seasons, you were all into it, and then, like, you kind of forgot about it, and then, like, you find out that it ended six seasons later and you don't know anything about it. Like, it's fine. You lived. Like, it didn't destroy your life. So,
damn,
I don't know.
You just described me with How to Get Away with Murder, and I feel really sad.
Me too. Same thing with the same show. I was all about it. I loved Viola Davis. I was so ready to go. And, like, it just kind of didn't. It fell off. Nothing personal against the show. It's not a personal, like, attack on the actors. But it's okay. I can just not watch it, and it doesn't occupy any space in my brain. And I wish that, I don't know why people feel the need to like hate watch so much pro wrestling. It just feels like a real bummer, guys. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's going to be a headline coming from this interview. This guy comes for the hate viewers.
But like, maybe there's other pro wrestling that you like. Maybe you should get like a Stardom World subscription.
Seriously.
Or there is a chance that you just don't like pro wrestling, and that's fine too. Pro wrestling is weird, and like, you don't have to like it. So
the cool thing is too. And I say this all the time because I'm a big advocate for everything you've said here as far as, look, just like watch what you like and then like don't down on people who like what you don't like because it may not be for you. The thing is you're not, wrestling is not for everybody, but the thing is there's so much of it out there. And the cool thing is in this day and age, folks, if the wrestling you even like occurred in the 80s and 90s, that's available too at your fingertips. Like, there's so many ways to now get your hands on even older pro wrestling. There's honestly, if you ever had any enjoyment in pro wrestling, there's ways to still get the enjoyment that you want if you're still looking for that fix. And if not, then just walk away from it. It's
like if professional wrestling and not enjoying professional wrestling is like causing you, like, I sometimes see people who just like they're in turmoil. Yeah. Over this, and it's not it's upset, but it's I'm not like mocking them. I'm concerned because I'm it's
it is
okay.
Concerning.
It's okay. Concerning. Like you can just I feel bad that someone is spending so much time being unhappy about this thing that I love,
right?
But understand that not everybody loves it. Like I don't like football, like American football. I'm from Philadelphia, but I'm not necessarily an Eagles fan or an anything fan. I don't watch it. I don't, it's not a thing in my life and I don't think about it. But, and when I watch a football game, I honestly, I'm kind of bored, but I don't tune in, you know, every game to like be bored.
Right.
Yeah. Because what I have other things that I need to do.
It's me with football. Like I used to watch football religiously and I at one point was just like, I just don't enjoy this anymore. I'm done. Yeah. I don't want to watch anymore.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. And you're fine.
I'm fine. Okay. There's plenty of other things for me to watch.
You find other interests, yeah. So I don't know. I get bummed out when I see people like having, and I know it's hard because if you were a huge pro wrestling fan and you had a big emotional connection to certain wrestlers or certain promotions, and you find out that it's not what you like anymore, like yeah, that can be hard, I think, to deal with. But also, it might be a sign that maybe you've changed personally and that's okay. Sure. Like that's good.
That's okay too.
Gross is okay. I don't know, but I think about this a lot where I see just people, you know, on Twitter who just seem so unhappy with what they're watching. And it's not like, oh, don't criticize anything. That's not what I mean. I mean, like they actively seem to tune in to a show that they hate and are miserable about it. And it's like, I don't, that doesn't seem like a good plan.
Definitely, yeah. Swear.
I mean, it's also Twitter though. Can Twitter?
Yeah.
Twitter incentivizes arguing with
this
people,
is so, so true, and I think about this too. So I have a lot of friends who are my like civilian friends, like my real life friends, who have gotten into pro wrestling. Some of them were like kind of liked it when they were kids. You know those people. Like they liked it when they were kids, but like fell out of it because if you're not doing this as a job, sometimes it's hard to like stay involved because there's just so much pro wrestling. But I have some friends who are lawyers now. We went to law school together, who have gotten back into pro wrestling semi-recently because of me and because of my husband, and just it's on TV. Like AEW has, I have a lot of friends who are, you know, like real life people who watch AEW every week. They always watch Dynamite. They like it. It's fun. It's exciting. When AEW comes to town, they'll go to the show. When I come to town, they'll come to the independent show and be excited when like John Moxley's at a Wrestling Revolver show or something. Right. But they have fun with it. And that's all it is fun. And they watch it on Wednesday night and they literally do not think about it any other time in the week. And right. I think because we are so online, we forget that this is honestly probably the majority of people who watch wrestling.
Definitely.
Is like you watch it, you enjoy it. Maybe you watch it on Friday again, but like you don't think about it. You don't write about it. It's not
podcast about it, nothing.
Exactly. And not and of course, and we're glad that lots of people do because otherwise like we wouldn't have anything going on. But I think it's also important as performers and just like people who are generally online to realize that a lot of people are just not as engaged with what we do as we are. And for a lot of people, it's like a fun thing that they watch the same way they watch any show. And that's it. And that's fine.
That could totally work out for you. We hope it does work out for you. I want to talk about some of these under the radar promotions that you've been working for.
Because
you are one of the main commentators of my home promotion. I like to call my home promotion West Coast Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
You're great, always doing a great job out there. What are some promotions that you've had a great time with this year? And who are some of the under radar ones that we might not know about that we should check out?
Well, like you mentioned, West Coast Pro, which streams on IWTV, which having an IWTV subscription and now a Fight Plus subscription, it's like $15 a month total. When you add in like New Japan, like basically for like $30 a month, you can get all the pro wrestling plus what's on YouTube. That's crazy.
That's
but anyway, so West Coast Pro is, of course, one of them. They're getting a lot more known now, but I think still under the radar enough to check out. I actually have tapings this upcoming Saturday for Enjoy Wrestling out of Pittsburgh, which if you're familiar with Enjoy, they put all their content on YouTube for free. They are just a progressive sort of punk rock pro wrestling kind of aesthetic. They're also similar to Fest Wrestling in Florida. There's a lot of crossover with the crew, but Enjoy is based out of Pittsburgh. A lot of just queer representation, and their production is insane. Scotty Swemba, who heads the production for Enjoy, it's like the best production on the independent level, period. It's crazy. But they put all their stuff out on YouTube in episodic increments, so that's something to watch out for. I've been doing a lot more with GCW lately, which is very cool for me. That was a huge goal, but don't sleep on JCW, which is Jersey Championship Wrestling. It's sort of associated with GCW. There's a lot of crossover, but JCW airs for free on the GCW YouTube, so that's for free live every show. We have a bunch of shows coming up for JCW and GCW on over New Year's. I'm trying to think. Wrestling Revolver, which I mentioned, I have been extremely fortunate to have them sort of take me under their wing. It's me and Bork Torkelson is the team for Wrestling Revolver, and we do every show. They're just incredible. They just had their season finale. You can catch it on Fight Plus. It had Mike versus Kenta, which was, if you showed that match to someone who was a Kenta fan like 15 years ago, they'd be like, what? No time has passed. What is going
on? Is Mike okay? Because him and Kenta were really going for it.
It was intense. And then, like, I've also had, you know, the opportunity to work for a lot of smaller promotions, and the getting to do WrestleCade recently was so cool to have me come in for that. And I'm trying to think where else. JCW is one of my regular places. There's so many. I got the chance to finally work for Mission Pro last year. They're doing really cool things. You know, it's a matter of just trying to balance. I want to be everywhere all the time. And there's just so many cool people I get to work with as broadcast partners. And I wish that I could, like, be in six places at once, because if I'm calling one show, I can't be at another show. And I'm just like, I have FOMO for myself.
I would definitely concur on Enjoy. Enjoy is great. You can see Envy Young there, and Envy Young is great. You can see that Konosuke versus Lee match. That was also great.
Banging.
Great promotion.
Yeah, and you can, and again, like I said, they put everything on YouTube for free. So please subscribe. Any of these promotions that are especially putting free content on YouTube, please drop them a subscription. Just check out all their stuff, share their stuff, because, like, otherwise it's not going to be free for long. Right. Like, they're putting it out there for free right now.
Well, I just want to say thank you for doing this. She is, again, nominee commentator of the year on the Fightful Awards. Which I wasn't even thinking about this when I scheduled that interview, but I thought, you know what? That's something we should be plugging here, because we do have the Fightful Awards. If you haven't voted already, FightfulSelect.com, get your votes in, because me, Denise, and Sean will be presenting those, and I would love to be presenting Veda with an award. So vote, please.
And Mike's up for a bunch, I'm sure, too.
If you look, it's award season, so, like, anytime you click on any, it's a lot of speedball all over the place.
Hey, and I don't know about everybody else, but Fightful sending out physical awards, so make some shelf space just in case.
Make some shelf space.
So I recently got awarded the Steve Mesa from Mesa Media at GalaxyCon. It's in my upcoming vlog. Plug. Awarded me one of his awards, and it was a physical plaque. And I was like, "This is insane! I'm so hyped! It was so cool."
Totally. Well, either way, Veda, do you have any other plugs you want to make?
Gosh, so you have my Twitter up there. It's at It's Veda Time. I still primarily use Twitter. Let's see how long that lasts. But Twitter's a good place. Everything sort of branches off from there. Everything else I kind of advertise, all my gigs are on Twitter. My Patreon is on Twitter, or advertise off my Twitter, which is patreon.com/It's Veda Time. Put a lot of exclusive content there. And then my YouTube is Veda Scott 1, or if you just search Veda Scott on YouTube. But again, all of it kind of comes off Twitter. Like, I put it all on Twitter. So you can just click the links there, and please check it out. Subscribe to my YouTube. I'm trying to grow those numbers. So
absolutely subscribe. Well, this has been the one and only Veda Scott for Philip Lindsay for Righteous Reg.
Oh, yeah. It's time to end this, because my eyelash just started ungluing. So that's the signal.
All right. This has been Grap City Interviews. We'll see you next time. Have a great day. Peace.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024. Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.